we, University of Yuba, has been actually have a number of plans. Plan A was the normal, that was the calendar that we had before the pandemic. That one is actually completely thrown out after the lockdown, where we were supposed to start teaching in May. So now we are in July, so we are really like 2 months and a half behind. Then in May, we came up with Plan B, which was going to be a hybrid system, that those doing sciences and engineering and, you know, applied sciences, agriculture and so forth, could come to the campus and get some teaching, but at a reduced half time. So which means if you are supposed to be taught for 2 hours, the contact time will be half to about 1 hour. Okay. And you will be given notes, or you download notes by everywhere, and you are taken through the notes quickly and you go. It means we will be able to teach small classes, so you can break your class down into two or three, so that you have distant learning. That was Plan B. And then the social sciences were going to be actual home-based, which means the distant kind of learning. They get the information off the net, or they get copies of, you know, hard copies somewhere, which can be organized, and then they stay at home. They try to complement themselves with other tools like YouTube and so forth. That was Plan B. But Plan B has delayed in approval. It has not been approved yet. Mm. And it's still being studied by high-level task force.
When did you submit the Plan B?
Plan B was submitted toward the end of May. I think, actually, beginning of June.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was actually beginning of June, we actually submitted Plan B. That was delayed until now. So it has not been approved. And so we decided, instead of waiting, and we don't know when this is going to end, and we know that pandemic may continue, we are not sure whether cases are going to rise, which may actually induce more lockdown, we felt that it is important for the students to continue to learn. Learn, not the same way, but at least, you know, learn something. So last week, all the staff met, the Senate, the management, and all academic staff met, and we said we have a Plan B, which is distant home-based learning. Okay. And using technology to get information, to get information out to students, and for students also to get information which they need. So that is what we have come about. And this is one thing. The other thing, in Plan C, the diploma students were interrupted. For the School of Business and Management,
yes,
the School of Community Standard Rural Development, and then you have School of Social and Economic Studies. Their exams were interrupted. Now, we decided in our all-staff meeting that they are going to have alternative way of assessment. So this year, they are not going to sit the exams as we know them. What they will do is that they will get a take-home exams, which will carry 40% of the weight for the mark for any subject that they are taking.
Mm.
And then the continuous assessment, the assignment that have been given to them, and the midterm that will carry 60%. So then they can actually have themselves assessed, and those who are actually finalists will graduate based on this assessment, and those who were actually still continuing will move to the next class.
How will you monitor these assessments?
It's take home. It's actually, I can give you a question and try to determine whether you understand, you know, the subject. Sometimes you can, it's not a question of just copying. It may, whether you understand. I can test your understanding of the subject. So whether you are with somebody or you are seeing your notes, you have to demonstrate that you understand the subject. It can't be made like that. So it's a take-home exam. It's like an assignment. Rather than giving you another assignment, we give you questions. And the questions, we have the guideline. How do you actually need to ask the questions? So if you are able to answer those questions, it means you understand.
Okay. Now, I understand that there are some students who had done the exams and they were remaining with some papers to do just before the lockdown. How are you going to treat those students?
Yeah, the same.
So they will have to receipt the assessments. What will the exams they did be disqualified?
Well, the exam you did will be actually taken as it is. If you have taken a paper, the paper, that's fine. The paper that you have not taken, you will have to have a take-home exams instead. And you have, you know, something like 5 hours or more to do it and return it the next day.
Okay, that is good. Now, how feasible do you feel this plan is, especially given the internet strength and reliability in Juba? Since you say the learning materials will be accessed through technology.
Well, we will have different means of getting it. Some of them will get hard copy. If you cannot get, you know, there is somewhere you can go and get hard copy for the notes. If you are internet connected, then you can download it from the website, or it's sent to you by the instructor. If your instructor has your email. Also, we have a portal where a class can actually, people can sign into that class, or a year group, whereby people can actually, the instructors can upload information on that website, and you can log in, and anywhere you can log in from Internet Cafe. All you need is download it and put it on your USB and walk home, or have it printed.
So by hard copy, you mean there will be some people who will download these for the students, and then they will access it through there, those who cannot have access to internet?
Yes. What we have to say is this. You know, you have to have a minimum. Nobody now can leave and say, you know, they are getting education without actually knowing not how to access, without them having a Facebook account. If you have no Facebook account in this age, you are losing out. If you have Facebook, that tells something about you, that you actually know the technology. The technology is here. And so really, I'm sure it will be very, very minimal, especially with this generation. We call them millennials because they were born and the computers were there. In fact, the handset,
the smartphone
is a computer. It's a working computer. You can even read things on it. And they actually know how to use it.
Okay.
So let us not fear. The people, we used to have what they call people born before computers. Those were 80s, early 80s. But those ones who were born early 90s until now, you know, even late 80s, they are really, and especially those who are actually 16 years, 18 years, 20 years, they are just, you know, they are the generation of computing. So there is no way you think that you actually study university and you do not know how to use that. And you don't have to have a computer of your own. You have, you can go into a Netcafe and download that. Another thing, if you notice, a lot of students, by all means, they get a smartphone.
Yes.
Okay. Now, by all means, they have to get a notebook. You know, because that is the door to the future. And the computer is not that expensive. I'm not trying to do, but I'm sure students, they do have a lot of smartphones which are expensive, but somehow they get it. So not everyone will be the same, but what we are saying, if you don't have your own laptop, where you can go to where the Wi-Fi is and download onto your laptop, so you have electronic, you know, instead of carrying bulky notes. It's going to be bulky, actually.
That's
good
true.
For you to have it. Yeah. So I'm sure various ways. So you have multiple ways of getting information.
Okay. So which platforms are you going to use? As teachers and instructors.
Okay. Now, I have just told you one thing. We have a portal.
Yes,
we are developing a portal.
Yes.
Where you log in and you get information.
Yes, which other platforms?
Yeah, you can get information through emails.
Yes.
You can get it through WhatsApp. And so that's one way if you want to get a file. So file transfer, you know, systems are that website or distribution through emails or distribution through, for you know, download from a website. So those are the means. Then the other way is actually to have access to record it. Now we are going to look at, we are looking, we form a task force to actually present us a report of a range of technologies that can be used. For example, you have Zoom, for example, you want to do a seminar, you have Skype, If that's easy for you, you can talk through WhatsApp, where you have a WhatsApp video, you can do that. You have Microsoft Teams, you have Moodles, you have different applications out there. Some of them are open source, and if you know how to use it. Now, what is going to happen is that we will have a range of these technologies. We have a team which will actually specialize. So, if you are interested to use Skype, or you want to use Zoom, or you want to use Microsoft Teams, there will be help there. So every instructor will actually see how, different. And then we will also guide the students how they can use. Now, if you find that there are actually systems which a lot of people are happy with.
Yes.
And it's like, a common denominator, then we'll recommend that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Nationwide Discussion Hour right here on Radio Miraya. And today we have Juba University Vice Chancellor, Professor John Akett, who is here with me. And he's here talking about the various ways Juba University is exploring to make sure that students continue to learn as learning institutions remain closed. He has talked about ways in which the Plan C, which is now using technology to learn, and that means students will be accessing their learning materials at home through distance learning, but at home since they are in Juba. And he also says that those who have done the exams and are currently missed some exams, well, the other exams will be marked and kept, and then the ones they missed, they will have to do alternative assessments, and then that is what will be used to grade them and graduate. And so now, finally, he mentioned that there will be a task force to present other ways of technology in which the students can be accessed wherever they are as learning continues, both online and also through handouts. So you're welcome to contribute through text messaging, and you can send your message on 0929-693205 as we continue with the discussion right here with Professor Akech. Now, Professor Akech, you've already talked about the exam. But then when exactly do you plan to roll out these learning materials, and do you think that this timeline, the students are ready to start with this new curriculum?
Okay, Kaden, I think now what we have is this. The timeline is as follows. From the 20th of July up to 25th of July, the exams for open book exam will be actually written. And what will happen is that from 27th of July to the 8th of August, the take-home exam will be actually given to students. And then marking will take place between the 10th of August until 22nd of August. And then the diploma students will, after they have finished the exam, on 24th of August until 29th of August, they will register for the new academic year. It means they have to come. It's not online. Physically, they go to the college, standing in the queues and registering. So that's to do with diploma students. Now, for the first year students, the new ones, they are going to register on the 10th of August and then until 22nd of August.
Yeah.
And then senior classes will register on 17th of August until 29th of August. And then we start teaching for all years on 31st of August until the 5th of December.
All right. Thank you. We shall be going shortly for a break, and then we'll be back to listen from Professor Akech. Please stay tuned to Radio Miraya.
One FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace.
Radio
Miraya, Radio Miraya.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome back to Nationwide Discussion Hour right here on Radio Miraya. I'm Lucy Kiden, and I'm here with Professor John Akech, the Vice Chancellor of Juba University, who's with me and giving us details on the new rollout of new methods of continuing with education, even as the learning institutions remain closed. And so, as we continue in the discussion, I would like to just ask this question. There have been questions on why restrictions were lifted on bars and restaurants and other places, and yet learning institutions and churches remain closed. What is your say on this, especially on the learning institutions, given that you still had a plan, plan B, of having some students in the school, and this has not yet been approved? What do you have to say about this?
Well, I think it's not for me to answer that question. Mm. So for me, I'm a user. I want students to learn. So I'm affected, like those in the churches, the pastors have been affected. We, the teachers, we feel that students need to learn. We do not feel that we spend a whole year getting a salary and not being productive. This is one thing. So that's for us, it doesn't make us feel great. Secondly, South Sudan does not need COVID. South Sudan need to be moving forward all the time.
Yes.
We had so many good plans, but they have been disrupted. And what we need to do as a country to minimize the impact, South Sudan, of all the countries, it need to be continued to move. So that is a question for the high-level task force to do. Now, for Plan B,
yes,
what we did our part, we assured them that we will do whatever it can to minimize the, which means for our Plan B, if it were approved, the science students were going to come to the campus. The first year students of all the specialization will come. The final year students were going to come. And then they were going to be given half time. So it was actually a blended learning. It was not for Plan B. So we assured them, but they're still looking into that. So I think it's for a question for the high level task force to answer. Because for me, I'm affected. I would have liked us to be allowed to provide this Plan B, which would going to allow some kind of face-to-face meeting, but in a very observing all the social distancing, the hygiene, and so forth, we were going to do that. So
yes,
that is, I still wish that to happen, because you can see Plan C is, we call it the worst scenario. So what we are doing now with West Runner, and why we came out with Plan C, because it allows us to plan. If you wait and you don't know when, then that's very difficult for you to plan. And
yes,
planning, because they can, until now, it's possible that while before the 31st of August, that they will tell us, they will ask the students to come to the campus as Plan B. So Plan B has not really died. But what we are doing now, we are rolling out Plan C as a worst case scenario.
Okay, and just on a general note, since the closure of the universities ever since March, how has this affected the university and the students to date, and how do you plan to close that margin?
Well, it affected everybody. It means for us worldwide, according to a UNESCO report, last month or 2 months ago, it said about 70% of students, of learners worldwide, have lost the chance of learning. But in some countries, actually, learning never stopped. Some are still learning,
yes,
online, or they get support. They work on internet. They get assignment. They get, some kind of thing. But for South Sudan here, I think it's totally stopping. So learning has stopped. It means they are not growing intellectually. It also means for those who are sitting, moving, say, from primary to secondary, from secondary to, what will happen to them? How are they going to sit exams? So that's the question for us to answer. So it's for students, for young people also to stay at home, doing nothing, that is not easy. It's not, they are not going to get involved necessarily in very constructive activities.
Yes.
We hear of pregnancies for girls at certain age, for example, because they are not occupied, you know. So certain things, social problems can be associated. So, and we as university, we actually conducted a socio-economic impact assessment.
Yes.
Not only for our students, but looking at the society, because students actually are embedded in society.
Mm.
And so when the lockdown was, the hard lockdown and closure of markets, it also affects the students, because it means, you know, their parents are not earning. Some of them actually have lost their jobs and so on. So in that way, students are affected. So that's what I can say. I cannot really put a figure to that, apart from the fact that a lot of learners worldwide have lost. In South Sudan, they also lost because they are not learning, and social problems also associated with girls at certain age. And it's not only in South Sudan, but I'm sure elsewhere. We have not measured that. We haven't done a study.
And do you feel this online, distance home-based learning will have the same pace as when the students would be able to come to the school, or will there be a disadvantage somewhere?
What I can say is that something is better than nothing. When you put not doing it at all, not doing something at all, and doing something. Let me give you an example that you are teaching a mathematics, you know, integration. You are teaching a student how to do integration.
Yes.
You give them examples. You give them they have how they can actually integrate or differentiate a formula, and then they take this one home. They have plenty of example, and they can even ask you if they have any problem. They can send you a message. Now. They have, by next week, you ask them questions about differentiation, integration, they will answer.
Yes.
The same apply to finance or accounting. You give them something well explained. Now, what will happen is that we will try to make sure that things are explained in a way that the students can understand. This is one thing. The other thing is that let us not underestimate the ability of technology to teach. Mm-hmm. Now, what is happening for us at the University of Juba, we are looking at it as opportunity rather than, you know, a challenge.
Yeah.
So, for us, it's an opportunity to move. And in fact, worldwide, people are saying learning is not going to be the same again. Now, the technology, where it is available, like fast internet and so on, people actually are stopping going to universities. And instead, they get a job and they enroll online. And I look at the statistics, and they said now about 45% of students now in the U.S. are actually not going to universities. They are enrolling online, and they use massive courses in order to upgrade their knowledge. So it's a sea change. What is going to happen is that life will not be the same again, and we'll discover that actual technology is good.
Okay.
And not only that, in South Sudan, technology is here. We are not pushing it hard. And now, you know, when the history of human being is that when they are challenged, they actually rise up to the challenge.
Yes. Okay. So I like what you've said. We are not pushing it hard. It relates to a message here that I want to read out, and then you can give your comment. Mading Malwal Aluong in Malakal Town says the distant learning is not going to work. Majority of students don't have smartphones and internet access, and to make matters worse, they're not steady. They don't have steady power in most parts of the country. I know South Sudan government is wasting money on investment on e-learning. South Sudan is the poorest internet service country in the continent. And he says it's an unrealistic project that don't consider the learning program. What is your take on this? That is his question.
You know, let me tell you, the internet that we have in Juba today, U.S. didn't have it in 90s.
Okay.
U.S. didn't have it. The technology is abandoned. It is here. And it comes through multiple channels. And what I'm saying that we are not pushing it enough. And students will have to learn it, how to get it. You get it through different means. Today, I got a message from U.S. Embassy. They have an American corner there. And they were going to to install electronic learning. And I'm told that there is a technology which they can use. They will do a subscription whereby the Wi-Fi will be accessed. You can come and sit. You don't have to go inside. If you sit within certain radius, distance, you can sit there with your laptop and download.
Mm.
And if you don't have it, your friend will have a laptop. So somehow you can actually get the message from your friends, and you also try to improve yourself to get a laptop. Laptops also have become very cheap. What it is that if at all you are very desperate, you can also get a soft copy somewhere in the library, and where you can get that. I mean, a hard copy, you can get that. So what we are saying is not going to be like you go open the internet and there the lecture is coming to you. No, you will have we now listen to music, isn't it? Everybody
yes.
listen to music.
Yeah.
And so what will happen, you will have the YouTube lecture is there. So you get the YouTube lecture about accounting equations, that lecture that you have, and you watch it, you see it being played, and you learn. You don't have to have it, you can take from others. You can sit with your friends and watch it on from their laptop. So
okay.
There will always be a problem, there will be always fear. But the reality says that we will overcome.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to Nationwide Discussion Hour, and with me in the studio is Professor John Akech, the Vice Chancellor of Juba University. Juba University is rolling out a distant home-based learning program, and new students should be registering by the 31st of, August.
No, first-year student will register on the 10th. Registration is different. Registration is where you come, pay the fees, make
yes.
sure that you get there. So first years will register on the 10th of August until the 2nd of August.
Yeah.
Then senior class will register on the 17th of August and then until 29th of August. And then teaching will start on 31st of August.